First down and 10 from the Browns 25. Shotgun snap. Cousins has it. Angles right. He's going to get hit, buried, and dropped. Xavier Cooper, the rookie, gets in there for the sack.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Jim Donovan will join us in just a few minutes. He was on the call there. Xavier Cooper's first sack in his preseason debut. Danny Shelton saying he was happy for Coop, but he wanted to get that first sack himself. So we talked. Let's do some position grades quickly. We'll start with the quarterbacks. I think Josh McCown, everything we've expected to see from him. For me, Johnny Manziel. Overall, I think this group was okay. As the game went on, the offense sputtered with Connor Shaw and certainly
what's
with Thad Lewis.
Group was better than okay because who cares about the third and fourth string quarterback? If you're looking at third and fourth string quarterbacks, then we got issues.
No, I think that's fair. I thought that McCown and Manziel combined to complete 12 out of their 16 passes. Now, it wasn't down the field. Johnny threw 11 passes, only 42 yards, 3.8 an attempt. You want to see him push it down the field a little bit more. But overall, I thought both of those two quarterbacks looked good. McCown, obviously your starter, looked the best. One drive, you can't overreact to it, but
no.
Saw what you
I'm
wanted
to overreact
see.
To it.
We
folks.
Know that, Rich Gannon.
Rich Gannon, RG2. Part 2.
RG2 also had, let's not forget, Hall of Famers in, I believe, Tim Brown and Jerry Rice that he was throwing the football to.
Let's just say Rich Gannon, Part 2. That's all I'm going to say.
I thought, again, the overall performance, I was it keeps you thinking positive about the quarterback position.
Uh-huh.
And that's all
Which
you can
you
expect
want.
Coming out of game one.
Great, great point. Running backs, I'm going to give them an incomplete. I don't really think we got to see enough from them. Isaiah Crowell, 4 carries, 6 yards. West, 4 for 10. They each had one catch. West actually had 2 for 6 yards. Crow had 1 for 6. Crow also made a great special teams tackle.
Did he?
Which
yes.
I would say, yeah.
Did you see the blitz pickup, too, by West?
West had a
low.
Nice blitz pickup. Yeah.
And then he caught a pass there.
And he got up and caught the pass, stayed with the play. That was the one when Johnny rolled out.
You got to like that.
The reason I'm going to say incomplete is this. This running game is so critical. But as I just tweeted out, Isaiah Crowell ran the ball 4 times for 6 yards. He had 7 yards after contact.
Yep.
Terrence West ran the ball 4 times for 10 yards. He had 10 yards after contact. You've got to give these guys opportunities to run. The only play where Crow had a crease, he picked up 5 yards. It was his first run of the game.
And
that was it.
And still, there was he probably was contacted within 2 yards of the line of scrimmage. The other 3 was his body, you know. A difference that we saw out of last year where he had trouble putting his cleats in the ground and would fall after contact or at around the line of scrimmage for a 2-yard gain, he had such a surge behind him in that little crease, and it ended up being a 5-yard gain. I'd take 2nd and 5
all day,
every single first down of the entire season.
Listen, that start was a drive starter.
It was.
Went down and scored a touchdown.
I also think that all year, teams are going to know we want to run the ball. We're going to have to use the pass a little bit to set up the run.
And I feel much better about that this year
Rich
than a year
I mean,
ago.
Josh McCown's accuracy, I'm not worried about
for
that
rich
one bit.
Guy, I mean, Rich guy, I mean, Josh McCown's accuracy. Kid, good to have you back. All right, wide receivers. You know, you didn't really see much of Hawk. Hawk only had one target, didn't play a ton. Taylor Gabriel had the one catch. I thought Brian Hartline really stood out for me. 3 catches for 30 yards on his 3 targets. I thought Travis Benjamin, 2 catches for 10 in the touchdown and the big pass interference penalty. By the way, a lot of NFL royalty in the building today. Kevin Mack walking around with Mr. Eric Metcalf over there.
Yes.
We saw Ray Farmer walking around with Brian Dawkins, who still looks like he could run through a wall.
Eric Metcalf still has the greatest move in NFL history, Monday night versus the Bengals.
Was that the game that he had the
swing pass, whoops, end zone? No, that was not the game. You're thinking of the game where he had two returns for a touchdown, and I think the Browns still lost. But
So Hartline looked good to me. I thought that Benjamin looked good. Vince Maley was interesting. He had a couple nice catches, including a 23-yarder, which was the Browns' biggest play of the day.
Right.
And then also had the pass that Thad Lewis threw. A little high, a little hot.
Yeah.
But absolutely catchable.
Yes.
And you can't tip the ball up in the NFL, and it ended up being intercepted.
But wasn't that the book on him coming out of college?
Yes.
That he made a lot of catches, but also had a lot of drops?
Yes, it was.
Yes, but you want to see that go away to be a receiver in the NFL. Did anybody stand out to you? I had one guy who kind of surprised me and looked good. It was a guy who's shown some flashes for me going forward. Darius Jennings.
Jennings,
he had 2 catches for 28 yards on the day, a 22-yarder. Also had a nice 54-yard kick return early in the game. I thought he looked good. Josh Taco Bell Lenz one pass, one catch, 5 yards on four targets, so not a whole lot of action for him.
Is Jennings, now that we've played an actual game and you've taken, he's taken his skills off the practice field, out of the scrimmage into a game setting now, is he, because I think that spot on the practice squad is Lenz Jennings. It's that, is that going to swing back and forth from week to week?
I think it is, and I bet in our scouts' minds, listen, Jennings was the one that was signed right away.
Right.
Jennings was signed as an undrafted free agent right away. He had two kick returns for 75 yards. I alluded to the 54-yarder. He had the one catch and made a quick move. He's got some good moves, and I think that I liked what I saw from Jennings. And if you remember, Jennings was the one who was kind of getting some of the hype over Lenz before the orange and brown scrimmage.
Yes.
So I thought that Jennings showed. He was the one guy who kind of raised his stock in my mind amongst the receivers.
He looked a little bit like Greg Jennings to me.
Well, much quicker than Greg Jennings.
Well, he looked pretty good.
All in all, I think when you look at the wide receiver, this is without Dwayne Bowe, without the project that is Terrell Pryor. Just as the quarterbacks, I'm thinking positive, and that's why I continually ask the questions when we have these national analysts on from Yahoo and NFL, NFL.com, the network, and so on and so forth. Do we have enough playmakers? Because I think Josh McCown now knows what it's like to play behind this line, and he understands the concept of having a run game and being protected. He's not going to be that advantageous quarterback that's going to take chances, that they're going to reel him in and not have him in handcuffs, but he's going to be smart with the football and build trust with those wide receivers. I think we have playmakers to be good on offense, not really good or great.
Better than people, I think, expect the Browns to
absolutely
be.
And because people are thinking that, all kidding aside with my Rich Gannon talk, they're thinking that quarterback is a weakness, and I just don't look at it that way. Josh McCown is going to be very solid, and a solid quarterback is going to hit receivers when they're open, and our O-line is going to give him time to throw. Offense is going to be, the passing game is going to be just fine. We got to just make sure that one of these running backs steps up and says, this is my job.
Pardon me, a little musical accompaniment for you there, the kid, at the end of that one. I will make another statement. Coming out of that game, I believe Travis Benjamin locked up his roster spot. I do.
Okay.
You thought he was on anyways, as did I.
I did. I just think that you want to continually see that to just re-edify that he is the guy for that spot.
And it's not because he caught the touchdown. That could have been anybody on that play. It was a heady play for him to break back right on a play that was supposed to go left and find the soft spot, and he was wide, wide open. So good job there. Heady play to force the pass interference. The speed looks like it's there. He was the first guy to return punts for you.
That's the point I was going to make as well.
The other guy who I think locked up his spot last night, provided, and they said the injury is not serious, Marlon Moore showed why Marlon Moore gets a lot of love for me
he's
and other
be on
people.
The team. You need to have special team stars, and he's a special team star.
Star.
Got to be on the team.
Led to 7 points, the forced fumble. You brought in Andy Lee. Those gunners matter. I think the Browns could end up keeping, if they decide that he is worth the upside, there's a possibility this team keeps 8 wide receivers.
But does Marlon Moore even count as a receiver?
No. But technically,
it's like Slater in New England.
I think you could keep 5 specialists. You have your punter, your kicker, your long snapper. You call Johnson Badamosi what he is, a specialist, and you call Marlon Moore what he is, a specialist. So that leaves you 48 roster spots.
Okay.
Is that enough, Wilhelm, or is that you can't do that?
There's some bad history when it comes to this football team that will push them in the direction to be heavier at other positions that could compromise our ability to keep 2 specialists.
I don't know that there's enough. Let's be honest about it, and we'll get to the offensive line in a second. I don't know that there's enough offensive linemen to keep 8 linemen.
How about your guy?
Michael Bowie had a rough day.
That's what I was just going to touch upon.
Rough.
Rough.
Rough day.
So, bad feet, looks slow, bad hands.
He's not necessarily a left tackle, which is where he looked the worst.
Right.
But not good.
Not good.
Concerning.
No.
I want to see better going forward.
Yeah, you've been singing this guy's praises for
years.
He's
strong. He's a strong guy. Listen, started 8 games for the Seahawks when they won the Super Bowl. He's a strong guy, but he did not look good against a fourth-team edge rusher who went around him twice in a row, number 45 for the Washington Redskins. So,
what's his name? Exactly.
I can tell you, because got to look in the box score and look for who had sacks for their team. Actually, they had 5 sacks. I think it was Bates.
Okay.
Master Bates was the one who went in there and got the touchdown. So when we come back, we're going to have the voice of the Cleveland Browns, Jim Donovan. He'll tell us what he saw. We still have, so we've gotten through 3 position groups. We'll get to the tight ends next, where I think there was a shift of power last night. And we'll talk about the offensive line, which I'm a little concerned about. I don't want to be, but I'm a little concerned about. Jim Donovan, though, up next here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.
ESPN ESPN Cleveland Tonight. Scores, interaction, and the day's top audio. Weeknights at 7 on ESPN 850. WKNR Cleveland. ESPNCleveland.com and the ESPN Cleveland app.